Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me in studio, the one and only Chris Fleming. How are you, Chris?
I'm wonderful, Jen. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for making time in your busy schedule between flying over to the UK and ghost busting and keynote speaking and talking to dead people. You got a lot on your plate.
I always do. I'm one of those creative individuals.
Thank God for that. Well, I have to ask you because, you know, I know because I've watched a lot of your videos, and for people who want to go and learn more, go to ChristopherFleming.com or Soulman Media is another way to find you. You're on Facebook, you're on Instagram, you're social media savvy, but you are bopping around a lot. So when did you, for the listener that doesn't know, when did you start to tap into your intuitive gifts on a regular basis? Because I think a lot of us as kids had these sort of inklings that something was going on, but right. We didn't really have anybody with the toolbox to help us through it.
Right.
For you, when did you embrace it and know what this was and know that it was going to be your journey?
I was about 3.5 years old. Mm-hmm. We were living in, I believe it was Salt Lake City. My dad was playing hockey, mm-hmm. so this would have been around 71, 72.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a nightmare. I woke up screaming that my sister had drowned, and my mom came running into the room, and I'm crying, and I'm
And you were how old at this
time? I was about 3.5.
Okay, yeah, 3.5, okay.
I was in hysterics, and my mom has had prophecies, visions, dreams that come true, was passed on from her mother, so she was well aware that this emotional state I was in, as dramatic as it was, there was something to it. So she went and looked at my sister, made sure my sister was okay, and she sat me down and she says, Chris, I want you to tell me exactly what you dreamt.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through it from the beginning to the end, and my mom stopped me. And what ended up happening was she says, listen to me, if this ever happens, don't jump in the water, the darkness that you described. I want you to race and get help.
Mm.
I said, okay. 6 months later, we had moved into this apartment in Salt Lake City. And there's a bunch of family members over, and they all decided to, hey, you know, why don't you kids go outside? You're getting noisy. So we go outside, and it was in the late fall. So one of the older girls says, is there a pool around here? I said, yeah, there's a pool. So we go over to the pool, and there's a tarp on it, but it's filled in with water because it had snowed and then melted. And she says, everybody, let's play a game. Everybody touched their foot on the tarp. So we all did that. She was holding my sister's hand. My sister was about 1.5, and she had a snowsuit on.
Mm-hmm.
And so my sister goes to do it, and my sister slipped out of her hand. Slid down the tarp right into the pool of water.
Oh my gosh.
Now, luckily with the snowsuit that my sister had on, she was floating. But as she was sitting there, I wasn't thinking anything of it. I'm watching. I said, well, get her. And there was no immediate danger yet because we didn't think about flotation and much when you're a kid. But the girl goes and gets a skimmer.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, I remember that in the dream. Then she throws what I thought as a kid was a giant lifesaver,
uh-huh.
was a life preserver. She throws the old-fashioned white life preserver. As soon as she did that, we called it in psychology a trigger.
Yeah.
Trigger was like, oh, the dream, my sister's going to drown.
Oh no.
What did my mom tell me? What did my mom condition me to race back?
Go get help.
So I started screaming through the parking lot. There was the maintenance guy working on the front of the door. He says, what's going on? I said, my sister's drowning. He raced over to the pool. My mom and the family came out. We got there just in time. They created a human chain, and just as they were trying to reach for my sister,
mm-hmm.
the snowsuit had filled up, and she went under.
Wow.
So my mom pulled her out 2 seconds after she submerged. Because of that dream, mm-hmm. I reacted appropriately. My mom recognized it and taught me. So that was my introduction to mm-hmm. ESP, extrasensory perception.
Absolutely. And if everybody had somebody to walk us through these moments, right? Who knows what kind of things? And that brings up an interesting point. So what you saw was a possible end
Correct.
To your sister's life.
Correct.
Possible, right? A branch point, whatever it might be, right?
Right?
But because of free will and because of destiny and all these different things, you changed that trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you believe? Do we all have several options when we can check out? Do we
yes.
all? Tell me about your belief system and when we leave this plane.
I've been down an incredible road. I mean, since I was a child,
mm-hmm.
I've seen ghosts, various entities from multiple dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
I became fascinated in the 90s, published a magazine called Unknown Magazine, dealing with the paranormal, interviewing people all over the world, stuff from military secret projects, Superman projects, to alien abductions, to everything.
Right.
And I studied ecology at Beloit College in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and I minored in it. I was close to majoring. But I took it because I want to understand how other people thought about this stuff. Unfortunately, there was nothing involved with it.
Right.
And it was all basically science. What I was really interested in and didn't know the term at the time was parapsychology and other studies.
Right.
But I learned a lot about human psychology. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot about abnormal psychology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, manic depression, hallucinations, schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And I needed to know that stuff because of the experiences I had seeing and communicating with ghosts.
Right.
Whether it was personal or collective, meaning, you know, other family members, friends that slept over.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to know that I wasn't crazy, mm-hmm. but I was hoping to find something scientifically that had been documented. Unfortunately, psychology wasn't the answer.
No.
Obviously, later on, I found documentation. Mm-hmm. I found documentation in many sources when we started getting the internet in the 90s. And I started to pursue and research and study various forms of the supernatural and the paranormal. Mm-hmm. One of them being, which I really got into, was ITC, instrumental transcommunication.
Right.
Communicating with ghosts and spirits and consciousness. I like to call it our consciousness when we leave the body.
Right.
But we give it the term the soul and the spirit, but we do know and believe, based on the research, that personality survives death. But how do we prove it? Well, ITC, which has been around for a long time, proves it.
But are you connecting with something that's in the light, or are you connecting with something that's stuck?
Great question. I have been doing this now. I'm 50 years old. I'll be 51 in May.
Mm-hmm.
I've been communicating, seeing, researching, studying, following spirits since I was 3.5, 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt in my mind that there are billions, if not billions, maybe even more, countless of spirits and stuff, they're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are still here because of their thought trajectory, because of their attachments, of their belief systems, mm-hmm. because of their fears, and the list goes on and on. Unfortunately, a lot of these entities, these spirits, are negative.
Mm-hmm.
And they will mess with us. They will pretend to be a child. They pretend to be this. Fortunately, I have learned or developed, whatever it is, a discernment of spirit,
right,
that allows me to detect whether it's negative or whether it's actually a human mm-hmm. spirit, and it is what it says it is. This has come in handy in my own personal situations, but also in a lot of the cases that I do.
Right.
So my belief system, which is just a combination of so many different things, mostly personal experiences, is that there is life after death, there's no doubt. And there is the study and the research to validate this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been around for a long time.
Right.
We also look at the cultures, religions, and the spiritual groups and organizations over thousands of years that have right. all come to that belief system as well, and they mm-hmm. institute it and they teach it. But then we have the military that has done secret projects, and some of the projects and research is available, you can find in back documents, such as remote viewing and studying consciousness in the afterlife.
Yeah, and let's put that out there to the listener, by the way, for all of those that think this might be a little skeptical, mm-hmm. or you might have a skeptical spouse, let's put it that way, because I doubt a total skeptic is tuning into this podcast, but some might be in the car being forced to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Remote viewing was paid for by the government to help find the bad guys, basically, right? This was a CIA program? Was
Correct.
It CIA? And
it was Army Intelligence that got involved.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Skeptics will say, well, they didn't discover anything, so it was disbanded. Well, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They found out the practicalities and the protocol was working to a scary degree that it went top secret.
Right.
And this isn't coming just from me. This isn't stuff from information.
No.
This is from the actual remote viewers that were there.
Right.
That can be verified, that were involved in these studies, in this research, that have come forward and stated this.
And they've come forward and written books about it. So
Absolutely.
Go dig into
Joe
that.
Joe McGonigal, Lynn Buchanan, mm-hmm. the list goes on and on.
Absolutely. So for you then, when you're investigating and you use EVP, you know, electronic voice phenomenon, a lot of the tools that you have, and people
Correct.
Can find these on your website and such, with the EVPs, the voices that come through, I know a lot of people have gotten great... How should I put this? Peace by getting, you know, they put their recorders out for hours, and at the same time every night, a certain message will come through. I interviewed Daniel Drayson, who did some movies about this, documentary about this whole topic. And so for those parents that find peace of mind from knowing their loved ones are talking to them, hi, mom, miss you, mom, love you, mom, whatever it might be, are we keeping some of these spirits earthbound because of our grief instead of letting them go into the light? Do you ever have a desire to learn how to put these spirits in the light, or do you do that already?
It's a big part of what I do. And the show Help My House is Haunted that I just did in the UK all last summer.
Right.
When I met the other two investigators, one from France and one from the UK, I stated to them, I know we all work differently, and I've been in this field for a long time. I just want to let you know that it's very important to me that when we are done with the investigation, that I help these spirits.
Right.
And this is what I do. And what was interesting is they started adopting some of those principles and those protocols because they saw how significant it was. Not only that, the evidence and the responses we were getting and the gratitude from what we're doing with some of these spirits, and then the negatives that were coming in to try to stop us, was, speaks for itself.
The negative energies?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Got it. Got it.
You know, telling us, God damn you, this and that, that we don't want you here, and, the F words and all the other words they would use because they were angry and upset.
You know those spirits aren't in the light.
You know, and here's the thing I want to, here's the thing I want to say to people is, We tend to think this is so supernatural thing. It's not. It's part of nature. I mean, we're talking about Indians in various cultures. They communicated with spirits all the time. That was how they hunted. That was how they found out about births and the weather.
Right.
They had this direct relationship. Unfortunately, with technology and everything else we have today, there's good and bad that come with it, is we no longer use that sixth sense, no longer use those spirit communications.
Right.
You know, one of the things I try to do is to teach people to get reacquainted with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the original question Jennifer had, I kind of went off on a tangent to kind of explain where I'm coming back, because I believe it, too, with anybody out there. We have a lot of self-motivational speakers and stuff like that. And some of them, I'm like, where are they coming from? You know, how do I know to believe them? Are they just taking Napoleon Hill's information and other people's information, rehashing it, and making their own? But what got them that to that level for me to want to listen to them? What did they go through?
Right.
And the thing is that I try to teach that we all have this psychic ability. And we don't like the word psychic. You know, and skeptics say psychic powers. There's no such thing as psychic powers. You know, let's leave that to Marvel and DC with the superheroes.
Right.
What we're talking about is just an extraordinary, exaggerated word. Every one of us is a form of energy. Mm-hmm. We are an existing energy that comes from the creator, the absolute, as the military calls it. This massive, infinite intelligence that Napoleon Hill talks about in Think and Grow Rich, that exists.
Right.
Edison,
Tesla, Vincent Peale,
Einstein talked about it too.
Right, right.
That there has to be this infinite intelligence. Tesla says there definitely is.
Right.
I've tapped into it. So what I teach in my workshops and when I work with individuals is tapping into that consciousness, that ability that we have that we forgot. And why do I say we forgot is we're a spirit and soul that has come here for a period of time to have an extraordinary experience. That experience is part of our own individuality to use free will to access that. If, if we're not very active and we don't do stuff, we're not really doing anything in this world, we have to become in motion, to constantly be moving and constantly be interacting and using our free will. Why? Because the Creator created us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The Creator is now expanding across all dimensions, all levels of existence to experience itself, because that could mean him or her.
Right.
Through us, but allows us to be an individual to have its own unique experience to guide us there so that he is not forcing it, but allowing us through free will to take us to places he would never be able to go or think of afterwards or before or at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that is a little joke I state about time, because there is no time in the absolute.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
But time is created within our dimension, third dimension, a dimension that is specifically created to have gravity, time, and space to allow us to occupy, creating a holographic image world that is attached by the ether and allows it to occur so that we can interact with one another to experience emotions, physicalities, but using our free will to have extraordinary encounters with one another, extraordinary experiences in many different levels that allows the Creator to fully know I am who I am. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, from the beginning and the end.
Right.
And when there is an end, it collapses and it starts all over again in a completely different sequence. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a lot for people to digest.
Sure.
But when you start to realize the world we're living in and the law of attraction and the secret and manifestation and how we kind of look back in our past, and sometimes when we communicate with people, sometimes it's memory loss, but sometimes we state, well, don't you remember this? And they don't remember that and state that never happened, but you know that truly happened. Sometimes you're dealing with alternate realities where you are now on a different path. Another part of you is on some different paths. They're on different paths, but yet everybody's remembering some things differently. Life is starting to get more complex like that because we're reaching, when you have a tree and it extends out and the roots extend out, starts to get more dramatic and there's more roots and they go so many more different ways. They're going into different dimensions, different levels.
Right.
When you become aware of that too and start accessing that, you start realizing, holy cow, I need to be more responsible for my thoughts, for my actions, for my free will, and take charge of things. What reality, what dimension, what path do I want to follow?
Right.
Okay. Now, this is what it gets into. People that want to be happy, they want to have a great relationship, they want, should I take this job? Should I not take this job? When we're at those crossroads for to make a definite decision, a purpose, we have to figure out, am I going to do this? Am I not going to do this? Whether it's two or three options or four or five or six options that you could possibly do if you actually sat down and wrote it out, you have to choose one. Mm-hmm. If you don't choose one, we all know things fall apart or the opportunity disappears. What happens when you take that one path and you mm-hmm. follow it? What happens to the other four
right.
when there's five? Well, I had an experience that was extraordinary. It's too long to go into, but I'll state this. I got to witness a specific situation where I had five different choices and a voice said, choose one. And I chose one and I got to see how the other played out.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other ones, yeah, how they actually played out. Yeah. Then I saw multiple dimensions where I go, wait a minute, I never went to Hawaii to work for this record store back in the 80s when I was asked if I wanted to, or the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, you did. In this dimension, in this path, in this choice, you did.
Right.
So I'm seeing these other realities. Now, what is my point of bringing this up? Point of bringing this up is that we tend to get really hard on ourselves. We tend to get upset that, oh my God, you know, I should have done this, I should have done that. But you realize, guess what? A part of you is doing that. The Creator and you are experiencing that simultaneously right now. That is what we call deja vu. When you feel like you've been in a place before, well, your other dimension, your other self has already been there.
So it's like your soul crossing. Is smattered across like
clones, like clones of
like
yourself.
Like clones. I describe it to people like it's separated by shower curtains, all right. simultaneously next to each other happening, right? There's a right. version of you in the Renaissance. There's a version of you, like you say, in Hawaii.
Right.
So is there a version of me where on mainstream radio we are having this conversation and on mainstream television we're having this conversation? Because that is my frustration in this current dimension where I, Jen, see you, Chris, that they will not embrace this conversation in mainstream media
right.
because it's too scary.
Well, it's too scary because knowledge, like Abraham Lincoln said, is power.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if we were to know this, that we are in control of our own destiny, not the governments, not the religions, not this and that. And listen, I'm not saying there's some great individuals in the government. There's been some great governments, some great leaders
right.
within history. And there's been some amazing leaders and spiritualists in religion.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is sometimes we give up a lot of our free will and our mm-hmm. freedoms, and we allow other people to control us. Unfortunately, as we all know throughout history, sometimes people take advantage of that.
Right.
What I try to say is, well, go back to who you are, that you are a part of the Creator,
mm-hmm.
but you've been given this wonderful gift of free will. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
You know? And it's okay if you make this one choice and you don't make these other choices. That part of you, it's playing out. And when your existence within this choice, within this life ends, you get reacquainted with all those other alternate realities and you all join together to experience all those things simultaneously.
Right.
And when this voice was telling me this, I said, well, who are you? He says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. And I'm not going to get into all that story because it'd be a huge controversy.
Right.
But I sat there and I knew that this was a powerful voice. And I said, well, how is this possible? And it says, do you doubt me? How is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it. If anybody believes out there, believes in a Creator, the Creator is still creating. Painter still painting, a builder still building, a mathematician is still thinking problems in his head.
Right.
If you had the ability to do anything in the universe, wouldn't you keep doing it?
And also, though, let's remember that doing anything, because you mentioned the secret, and I always get triggered by that because to me that was all about, I want stuff, I'm going to do a vision board and I'll have more stuff.
It's more than stuff.
It is so much bigger than stuff, but the big takeaway, unfortunately, in mainstream America was that if you do a vision board and put diamonds on it and that gorgeous house, you'll get the diamonds in that gorgeous house. To me, service, community, spirituality is being put where you're needed, and sometimes that might not be where you think you're needed.
Oh, God, yeah.
It might be to help the homeless guy that just dropped their coffee, and so you can step in and buy them a cup of coffee.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're on stage winning an award. That is winning an award in the Creator's eyes. And that is where people get the rub. That is what bums me out about our world now with this greed
and
sort of cycle.
Entitlement.
It's entitlement and it's greed and it's laziness and it's I want, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, I have a lot of people I know
mm-hmm.
that have this issue of entitlement and this and that. And it comes down to when you have things happen to you, challenges, let's say, things taken away, sometimes you can go into a state of depression or you know, why poor me or this and that. Or, mm-hmm. And then some people say, why is this? There must be a reason it's happening to me. And sometimes there is a reason it's happening to me. Sometimes there isn't. Right. It's just your bad choice. And there is no future of this is going to happen. We're going to teach you this. We're going to teach you that. All you mean is saying, what are you going to do now? It's up to you. It's your free will. Yeah. You can make it anything you want to be.
Right.
It's not happening to you for a reason. It's just happening that now you've made some mistakes. You can create whatever you want for the next future. Mm-hmm. So the thing is to what I try to teach people and share with people, my own experiences, and you know, a lot of these I can validate, but it's something I've been going through my whole life, and I don't have the answer to everything, and I would never state that. And anyone that says they do, run away from them.
Right.
But when I had this experience with this voice telling me and showing me these alternate realities and seeing all these lives, and it says, don't get so upset at yourself because you made mistakes in your life. Mm-hmm. Because that other part of you is doing this, has a family, is doing all these other wonderful, incredible things. And then some of you in other lives is suffering really bad. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be there?
Right.
So take advantage of what you have now and really be responsible. What are you going to contribute for yourself, mm-hmm. for others, and for me? Because mm-hmm. I am in you and I want to experience everything, but I can only do it through you if you use your free will.
Correct.
So the thing is, I tell people, what are you going to contribute in life? Well, I just want to find someone that's going to take care of me. And, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to take care of them. And I'm going to do this. I go, but how are you actually contributing to the world?
I was going to say, when you get people calling you for readings, doesn't it make you go like, rah, when people just want to be fixed and taken care of when they're not fixing themselves?
No, because I've been through that.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So I can relate.
Well, so you can relate to that.
I can relate.
Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Because I had hardships where, you know, things I've gone through my life, and I just wanted, you know, my mom or someone mm-hmm. to just take care of me. And I was spoiled as a kid growing up because mm-hmm. my dad played hockey and my mom spent a lot of money, and Christmas was like,
the best,
you know, a 10-hour day of opening up presents that filled the entire room.
Right.
And they would never get used again, or they get sold at a garage. What a waste.
Right.
You know? And we all look back on our lives and say, God, I wish I would have known this. I wish I would have done that. Well, guess what? You do.
Right.
So what are you going to do today?
Right.
It took you to get to that point today to do something. The universe mm-hmm. is telling you through your free will, like, God, I'm feeling regret. I'm feeling bad. Okay. They're making you feel that way because they're saying that you're not doing enough right now.
Or you're doing exactly what you feel you're capable of doing. Because even to say that you're not doing enough is sort of judging, right?
Yeah, so, and I don't mean to do that. Yeah, I just say, we have, like, you look at some of the greatest artists, you know, Jackson Pollock.
Sure.
He had his vice. You know, he was an incredible artist, and his paintings go for millions, but he was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And he died from a car crash because he was drunk.
Right.
And you have so many musicians and artists. You know why? Even though we look at them today like these gods, so mm-hmm. to speak, in the culture, in the art system. And they had challenges. They had problems.
But also,
inner
they
demons.
Probably had attachments. Let's
yes,
talk about this
inner
for a
demons.
Second. Those inner demons and those energetic attachments, a lot of times when addiction, it's they've got a hitchhiker mm-hmm. that's literally whispering in their ear. You know that cartoon of the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other? It's
it
actually
exists.
Real. And you've seen this. And,
I've
and we've
seen
talked
this.
About this, too, with some of these terrible mass shootings that have happened. These energies are taking over capable human beings and causing mass havoc. I mean, wreaking
Absolutely.
Havoc, right?
Well, when you look at, you do the research on a lot of serial killers, mm-hmm. and you will see majority, if not all of them, state they hear voices that compelled them to do that. Now, when you get in a legal system, it could be okay. They could be making that up just to, you know, give an excuse.
Right.
In some cases, of course.
Sure.
You know, children, oh, I didn't do it. He did it, you know,
right.
that type of thing. But we have, you know, you look at the Roman Catholic Church, you look at even Islam with possessions and how they deal with the exorcisms all over the world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the church acknowledges exorcisms.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's
and
an
Islam
entire division
too,
in the Vatican and dealing with this.
All cultures do.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and regardless of the religion, but everybody tries to make it a Catholic thing, but yet they don't realize all the exorcisms done by other religions, mm-hmm. other cultures. I've come to terms, you know, with studying, you know, abnormal psychology and voices. And I remember certain periods of my life, I would hear these voices and tell them to do terrible things. And I remember messing with the Ouija board when I was having these experiences with ghosts and all the demonic entities that I would see, physical, actual forms that would come out of the walls. And they would chase me, you know, into another room. And our sitter would experience this as well. And the sitter would end up quitting. Other friends would have experiences with these things. And at that point, that world I thought was maybe, was there something wrong with me?
Right.
You know, and I'll say this is kind of funny, is I remember the movie The Omen came out, The Omen 2. So I'm reading the book, The Omen 2, and it says there that he had a number on his head, you know, Mark of the Beast, 666. So I said, Dad, because I was seeing these negative entities and having these terrifying experiences, I said, well, I hope I'm not the Omen, you know, hope not the Antichrist. So I had my dad come over and I had him look through my hair. You know, he said, what am I looking for? Just, if you see any numbers, what kind of numbers? I said, well, make sure there's no 666.
Oh, geez.
So what does my dad do? And for those of you who don't know, my dad was a professional hockey player, 13 years NHL, absolutely, played for the Blackhawks, Reggie Fleming.
Yeah.
My dad's going through my scalp. He goes, oh my God. And I go, what? And of course, my head's down and he's on top of my head, you know, like he's looking for a tick. And he says, it says 665. And I go, five? What does that mean? Of course, my dad was kidding around.
Just screwing with you.
He was screwing with me. Right. But then he gets up and leaves the room. And I'm confused.
Right. Well, obviously, Reggie had a great sense of humor. But what
it's
did
a joke.
Did you talk to him at all about these things? Because, you know, cut from 3.5 to running around in the suburbs of Chicago. Did you talk with, I know you talked with your mom and felt comfortable talking to your mom about this. But what about with Reggie, with your dad?
Yeah, my dad was difficult because I used to watch his behavior, and when I would say certain things and the way he would respond, which I always remembered and I would study when I get to psychology, was, you know, when I say, Dad, there's a ghost right there, and he'd say, ignore them, they'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes he'd say, it's just your imagination. Mm-hmm. Forget about it. Stop talking about them. But he would always say, you know, just don't pay attention or ignore them, they'll go away. Ignore who?
Right. And did you know who the ghosts were?
Some of the ghosts, yeah. One of them was, his name was Henry, and I only know that because it told me his name multiple times on the Ouija board, but I saw him, and he described and you know why he was there, and then he told me about his life in the late 1800s. He was he had a company that dealt with imports and exports in Boston. So when the ships would come in, he would take all the stuff. He showed me what he looked like, and
were you living in Boston at the time, or was this just
say that at one point my dad played for Boston. I wasn't born yet, but there was a time we lived near or went to Boston when I was a little kid, but this had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
This was him telling me about the import-export, and I was seeing the ship, stuff I wasn't familiar with.
Right.
So he told me a lot about the spirit world as well. So my mom would say, don't tell anybody else. My mom says, my mom believed, she knew.
Mm-hmm.
So we would do the Ouija board to communicate with him. My sister didn't want to talk about it. Friends that would sleep over in grade school had experiences, so we used to, you know, mess with the Ouija board and do ghost hunts when we were little. But my dad just didn't want to deal with it. It wasn't until back in the early 2000s, when my father had a stroke and heart attack and he was bedridden for 4 years before he passed away, that we had these deep conversations. And I said, Dad, you know, do you remember all the ghosts in the house? He was like, son, ghosts don't exist. I said, what are you talking about? Dad, don't you remember me yelling? He goes, of course I do. How could I forget? I said, well, why would you say that ghosts don't exist when I saw it? Didn't you see anything? He goes, I didn't see ghosts. I go, well, did you see anything? He goes, yeah. I go, what'd you see? He goes, people. I go, what? Hey, son, they're not ghosts, they're people. I got so mad. I said, you mean to tell me
the whole time,
the entire time you saw these people and you chose to ignore them? He says, well, I didn't have a problem with them. You did. And I'm like, Dad, but I could have relied on you. He says, son, I just ignored them. I had other things to deal with.
Right.
I knew they existed.
Right.
So then I realized my dad had a sixth sense.
Right. Right.
But he chose to completely block it out.
Since he's been on the other side, have you had dialogues with him? Do you see him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
During that time I spent, and anybody listening, you know, I suggest you do this. Put aside your differences. And I state this as
with your living parents.
Yeah. There's a total of 10 years my father and I didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
Both Tauruses, both stubborn. We both made mistakes. We both have regrets.
Right.
And those things got in the way and we didn't talk. Well, you know, I get the call. He had a heart attack and he had a stroke. So I raced to the hospital after not talking to him for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I said, forget it. But during that time I got to spend with him before he passed, we knew it was going to be coming. He lasts 3 years longer than he was supposed to, from what all the doctors say.
Sure.
But I said, Dad, do you want to know what it's like on the other side? Do you want to know what I learned? I said, Dad, you won the Stanley Cup. You know, you got 100 goals. You were in the All-Star game. You played 13 years in NHL. I'll never know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but what I do know, what a gift I can give to you, is telling you what I know about the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
He says, sure, son, what, you know, tell me. My dad was a very strong Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him what it was like in the spirit world with consciousness, how you can move about. And thought is energy. If you want to be here, you can be there. If you want to think about somebody, you want to see what they're doing, you have to think about them. Mm-hmm. So, Dad, if you want to go from one room to the next, you don't walk. Mm-hmm. You just say, I want to be in that room, and you're there because you're a form of energy that is smaller than even particles itself that can go right through the wall. The mm-hmm. actual particles and the hologram that is made up within our environment, you can pass right through it.
Right.
So if you want to see me and you want to communicate with me, Dad, use your thoughts. And use your thoughts and your frequency to attach with my thoughts. Look mm-hmm. for my frequency, my thoughts, and that way I'll know it's you.
Right.
Sure enough, you know, the day he died, I went to Northwestern Community Hospital, and I'm walking down the hallway with my stepdad, because my parents got married a long time ago, remarried, and I'm with my one of my best friends from grade school.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, down at the quarter of the end, while the chaplain's taking me, leading to me where my father's body is, I see this man in this just cloak, like you, those green things you wear in the hospital, right?
Yeah.
But he's 30 years old. I'm like, who the hell is that? And I look and I'm like, that looks exactly like my dad when he was 30.
Ah.
That is my dad. And he's standing there looking at me.
Uh-huh.
And he smiles. And I'm like, he just died a few hours ago and he's already appearing to me. I'm like, this is soon.
Wow.
And I just close my eyes going, because I had the fear that I wouldn't be able to communicate with him. Because John Edwards, I guess, never communicated with his mom,
right.
which I read in his book.
Mm-hmm.
And I see my dad, and he vanishes. And there's a miracle that occurred inside that emergency room where my father was. And I'll tell you real quickly. The chaplain stated, I'm sorry that your father passed away, you know, that he's dead and he's no longer here. Mm-hmm. As soon as he said he's dead and no longer here, the entire wall started shaking violently as if somebody hit it, attached to it, and was shaking it. Everything that was attached on that wall in the emergency room
mm-hmm.
was shaking so violently that the chaplain got stunned and was shaking watching this.
Mm-hmm.
Then as it calmed down, I'm like, wow, this is completely abnormal. He says the same thing. I'm sorry your father died and that he's no longer with us. All of a sudden, the next wall connected to it started doing the same thing, but this time more violently. So violently that the monitor that was attached to it was shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at this, having done many, many paranormal investigations. I go, this is like poltergeist activity.
Right.
And I stepped back, and all of a sudden, I felt my father's rage.
Now, so
my
father was a fighter.
He right. was hitting the walls.
Mm-hmm.
He was shaking the walls with his energy form, and he was angry.
Right.
And I knew, when my dad was angry, you left the room.
Yeah.
And I turned to the chaplain. I said, my dad is pissed off. He goes, he is not dead. Don't you dare say he's
and
dead
he
and no longer with
room.
Us. Yeah. The chaplain raced out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an incredible story. As I sat there, I said, Dad, we talked about this. Make contact with me. I put my hand out. I felt the swirling wind.
Mm-hmm.
And as the wind got tighter and tighter around my hand, it manifested into a form. Now, I could not see this form,
mm-hmm.
but I felt something right there. I felt this hand graze across my palm.
Mm-hmm.
What's significant about that is what my dad did a lot because he was semi-paralyzed. He only had use of his one arm, and he would occasionally grab out and touch my hand and graze it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it, and I clasped my hand. I said, Dad, we did it. And
right.
I was so happy. And I just sat there completely content,
mm-hmm.
and I felt all this bereavement wash away. And at that time, the girlfriend I had at that time walks in, and she's mm-hmm. crying, and she sees my dad's body. She's looking at me, and I'm laughing and smiling.
Right.
That didn't look good.
Right. Ha ha, tee hee.
She's like, what's going
just
on?
Just another day.
She's like, I'm laughing. It's funny. It says 333 right now on your computer, and there's yep. a significance to me for that. And I'll
uh-huh.
state that in a second.
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, my dad's here, and he just made contact with me. Now, of course, that's hard for some people to believe.
Right.
So she goes, should I leave? I said, no, just sit here for a little bit. Well, she ended up leaving because she was uncomfortable, and I don't blame her.
Yeah.
But I walked out of there, said, all right, guys, let's eat.
Right.
So we ate, and then that whole week I had other experiences with my father. And mm-hmm. at the funeral, there was one of the nurses there. I played baseball with him in high school. And he's the one that actually called me on the phone and said, your father just passed away. He's here.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Doug. And he says, Chris, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. And we're just about to start the service for my father and carry the body in. He says, I just want to let you know what happened last week in the emergency room. The entire emergency room, the entire staff and doctors there that day experienced that. There's no construction in there. That's never happened before. Mm-hmm. The chaplain's completely freaked out. So whatever happened, happened. I turned to him, smiled, said, I know. It was my dad.
Yeah, of course. He was banging on the wall. Well, now he's in the light, so I'm guessing he doesn't have to hit walls to get your attention.
Yes.
And how does he come to you now?
I have felt him in so many different situations where my dad say, "Son, what are you doing?" You know, like he used to always do, and he'll make certain comments or advice. There's times where I don't need him to be around. I said, "Dad, you're busy doing what you're doing. I've got that total help." When I was doing a lot of these investigations in the UK, my father was coming through, and spirits were stating his name and saying he was around while we were trying to communicate with these spirits and assist them. Mm-hmm. The director even heard them say his name, Reggie, and the director even heard the voice come through, says, "I love you." And that was a message my dad and I used to always say when he was alive. I've got videotapes of it. My dad says, "You never know the last time we'll see each other, so always say it as if it's your last time."
Right.
So we'd say it on the phone. We'd say it face to face. I'd be down the hallway getting on the elevator. My dad would yell it out.
Of course, it was the 5 years you weren't talking to each other, right?
Well, of course, the 5 years.
Right. I really want listeners to hear this because really, until the rubber meets the, I mean, you have to do this. My dad had the same thing with his dad. They didn't talk for 7 years and it ate my dad up. Yeah. It's just unnecessary. It destroys you.
And it'll destroy all your other relationships because you will hold that chip on your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, my parents didn't talk for like 25 years. You guys need to talk.
Yeah.
So I brought my mom in and my dad, and they talked and they felt so great afterwards. Yeah. They healed.
That's right.
And you have to heal because the spirit will go on and it'll heal and it'll be fine on the other side. Sometimes they don't and they hang around. Mm-hmm. But the problem is you're still living your life. So I don't care what's happened. I know there are terrible things that have happened. Mm-hmm. But you really have to realize you have that free will. You have that choice. And as part of the creator, why not resolve it?
Right. How do you protect yourself?
You know, it's funny because I used to think I was invulnerable. And I had beat these demons as a kid that I saw. I had a woman tell me a prophecy 10 years ago, warn me that they would come back through other people. And as cocky as I was, and I said, "I beat them. I got guardian angels, this and that, not a problem." Mm-hmm. 9 years later, it happened exactly as she said. And from 2009 until just about a year or two ago, I went through the most difficult time of my life. And I wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for certain things that intervened, that sixth sense and those messages that the universe is saying, we have better plans for you, things that we want you to do. And the thing is they do that for everybody.
Right.
And I remember once these angels came out of the ceiling and there's demons that was in my room. This goes back to 2011. And I was getting attacked because I was involved in a case trying to get rid of this demon from this family that had an attachment. And I saw these angels come out, and I'm seeing this. And I know this sounds crazy to people, and I completely understand. Right. When I hear other people talk about it, I think they're nuts or I'm just missing something.
For you, this is another day at the office.
Exactly. But I was corrected, and I do get corrected many times. And I said, "Wow, you're doing this for me?" They said, "No, we do this for everyone." And boy, did I just ground my feet quickly and sit down and go, "Okay, then you guys do your job." But I have to pass this on to let people know that things going on in the visible spectrum that we don't see, things like this are happening all the time around you. When you get in situations, you don't even know you're being put in danger or things are around you. And sometimes they will come and they will help you. And they don't praise themselves like, "Hey, we just did this for you. Hey, look what I did. Hey, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be doing this." Or things are in great shape right now and things are going on because of us.
Right.
No.
Thumbs up emoji.
Yes. They do not do that at all because you know why? The responsibility is to love us, protect us, and help us. Not brag about it.
Right.
So I want listeners to know that, you know, I teach this in my workshops too, is how to connect, how to be aware of that, how to recognize that. And it's very simple. Quantum physics supports this. You're already doing it now when you pray.
Right.
But the problem is that we don't know how to listen.
Sure.
So I teach people how to listen for those messages. You know, I had a car accident in 2009, and I got the messages before the car accident. I even got warnings.
Right.
I didn't listen because I was stubborn. I got in the car accident, and I've been suffering ever since. Got a mild TBI, got chronic neck pain. And things are starting to get better. I almost gave up a couple years ago, and the universe intervened.
Right.
And I know the signs, and I just started laughing. I go, "God, you guys won't allow me to give up."
No.
This is, "No, we have plans for you." You know, and plus, you have plans for yourself. There's things you want to do, you want to fulfill.
Right.
So I realized, you know what? I'm not even doing what I preach.
Right.
So I said, "All right, universe, here's my question. This is what I need answered." And instead of me going, "You know, you're not helping me, you're not helping," I said, "I know you're going to help me." Mm-hmm. Sure enough, days later, this happens, that happens. I meet these people, meet that people, and I'm on the road to recovery, correct, finding new techniques, new solutions. And here's what's amazing. We talk about the military. We talk about research. Is anybody that's had a concussion or TBI knows that you have a hard time sleeping. Mm-hmm. Okay, you just can't sleep. And one of that is the brain gets messed up, gets defragmented, gets off the circadian rhythm. There's damage that it doesn't communicate, the syncing of both the left brain and the right brain. The frequencies aren't communicating correctly, so you can't sleep. Mm-hmm. Your mind's wide awake, or you're getting headaches. That is what a lot of Navy SEALs, people in the military, and PTSD deal with as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to find solutions, and one of them was floating in the tanks, which ironically, a buddy of mine I said to the universe, and a week later he tells me about it, and that helped a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then, crazy enough, I'm going through the internet and I see this on Facebook, I think it was the Black Vault, talked about this document and that the CIA had on their website. So I just click on it and it talks about the Gateway program that the Army Intelligence investigated in 1983. It's on the CIA website and it talks about consciousness. Well, they also talk about out-of-body experiences and remote viewing. Mm-hmm. I was compelled to download this and read it. I started reading it. They talk about the Monroe Institute, which a lot of people know, with the Jaime Sink.
I was just talking about this and how I do that meditation now every morning in the Monroe Institute.
In 1983, the Army sent spent a lot of money in researching what the Monroe Institute was doing with the Gateway, where they were accessing higher consciousness, leaving the body, that were they're more than just this physical body. Because of my interest in that stuff I've always had and my pursuit, I discovered those tapes through this CIA document, downloaded them to achieve higher consciousness, which I'm always doing, but found a cure in there.
For the headaches.
The Jaime Sink tapes started affecting my brain.
Yes.
Caused my brain to recognize where the damage was, and the neuroplasticity started to kick in. After a week of listening to these tapes, I was now sleeping the deepest I've ever slept in my life.
I cannot believe you're bringing up the Jaime Sink.
8 hours.
This is incredible.
I only sleep 3 hours every night.
Wow.
I'd be lucky if I get that for 9 years. Now,
right,
I was sleeping 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours to where I had to force myself to get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
I told my therapist. I told my doctor at Rush. I told another chiropractor, neuroscience doctor about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's helped me sleep now.
It's incredible.
No doctor or medication could get me to sleep, but these tapes on the military website from 1983 dealing with research into psychic phenomenon.
I was just having this conversation last night with Carolyn Mace, author. We were talking about meditation, and she said, have you ever done the Jaime Sink and the blah, 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 Monroe Institute? And I said, I just started it. Oh, my gosh. She's got the document right here. Oh, my gosh.
And there's the intro page, the first
the
two
Department
pages
of the
from
Army.
The commander to the Army research of what they're doing.
Amazing.
And then he goes through a summary of 27 pages, what he found out from the Monroe Institute, how it's going to affect them. Go to the back where it's highlighted.
Okay. Now, this is insane because I'm not kidding. You know when somebody tells you about something two times and then three times and then four times, it's like an anvil over the head? Anybody out there who hasn't heard of the Monroe Institute, start doing some digging. I now have an entire document in my lap about this that Chris has highlighted. But the reason I'm so fascinated by this is because it does make the left side and the right side of your brain talk to each other. So you'll hear it in your right ear, then you'll hear it in your left ear, and then you feel this kind of pulsation going through because it's literally activating neurons to talk to each other in a way that they haven't been doing.
Here's my theory, and I told, I won't say the doctor's name, but he's one of the top doctors in Illinois brain on the board in Illinois. I told him my theory is that from what I've learned from Monroe and how it affected me, I started getting the major spasms and the pains in the areas I've had for 9 years when I was listening to the tapes, and I thought I was going to go into another seizure. But something told me to push through it. What was happening was the left brain and the right brain were communicating, sending signals simultaneously and saying, hey, there's some broken roads here, some potholes. There's some damage. We need to fix these roads because obviously we're having a hard time communicating. Well, we don't always use our left and right brain simultaneously.
Right.
This was forcing with the headphones from the left and right ear frequencies that were slightly off purposely so the brain would fill in the gaps.
Totally.
And then say, hey, we need to make these changes. And the changes started occurring. So I have some individuals I know that have had paranormal experiences, but also fought in the war that have concussions that we're going to get together and try these tapes and see if it helps their brain.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh. Did you find the page you were looking for?
Yeah. Here's the thing is this release of this document, he goes into belief systems, biofeedback, hypnotherapy, and all these other things that they were researching at the time to help soldiers find more information about the enemy as well as about who we are as a human being.
Right.
But they go into this secret oral teachings in Tibetan Buddhist sects.
Secret, right, from this book
that was written. Mm-hmm. And he states this in the document. It's really interesting. The tangible world is movement, say the masters, not a collection of moving objects, but movement itself. Mm-hmm. There are no objects in movement. It is the movement which constitutes the objects which appear to us. They are nothing but movement. This movement is a continued and infinitely rapid succession of flashes of energy. All objects perceptible to our senses, all phenomena of whatever kind and whatever aspect they may assume, are constituted by a rapid succession of instantaneous events. They get into the fact that everything is energy in our consciousness, that we can train ourselves to recognize ourselves as conscious beings, mm-hmm. but also access the absolute where the creator is and the connection in between. But yet we have to, and they state this in the document, be careful of other entities outside our dimension that will get in the way.
Mm-hmm. This is an army document, people.
Yes,
go
and
on.
That through this technique, mm-hmm. they believe you can heal yourself.
Right.
And you can also reestablish control of your thoughts. Mm-hmm. This has helped me in my own journey,
yep.
obviously, mm-hmm. but also in my own teachings and my research and helping people when I do consultations saying, hey, I learned just something else. And it's supported not only by science,
because
they talk about many physicists in this document, but it was funded by the Army Intelligence in 1983, June 9th.
Wow. So, everybody. If you want to see Chris in person, you can go to the Well North Shore. He's going to be there May 26th. What are you going to be teaching?
I have a workshop, 3.5-hour workshop, is called Sixth Sense to Success. Success is business, happiness, life, a higher consciousness, all those things. And I'm going to teach you how to access that.
Fantastic. If people want one-on-ones with you, you still doing those?
Absolutely. You can go to my website, christopherfleming.com, click on Medium, and it'll take you to either the spirit art or consultations, which also then will take you to Gen Book. And you could even Google Chris Fleming Gen Book, and there is my website that has testimonies, the dates available, and the different type of readings and consultations I offer.
So when we were out to dinner with a group of people after an event at the Wilmette Theater, and something just like walked by and you saw it, do you ever have trouble turning this off, or is it now just something that you've always sort of accepted? Or it's just kind of a part of your everyday makeup and everyday encounters?
It's part of my everyday makeup encounters. I see things. Even some of my friends, they're like, well, oh, geez, you know. They get they get freaked out.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I was at a bar last week helping a friend go through something. And all of a sudden I felt, and I talked about this experience. And all of a sudden something touched my head and went dumb. And I freaked and they saw me react to it.
Right. And bars are a big one, by the way.
A lot of stray energies in bars. A lot of stray energies.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens a lot, but it's my own responsibility also is to meditate and control those thoughts. Like Napoleon Hill wrote a book called Outwitting the Devil, which just came out a few years ago, and it was banned during his time period when he was alive. They wouldn't even allow it to be released.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a metaphor, he has a conversation with the devil in where these negative energies can drift us away from our life purpose.
Right.
And I'll tell people, read that book, because that stuff is really happening with negative entities.
Correct. And we still didn't get to how you protect yourself. So how do you protect yourself?
There's many different ways. I realized that I can be easily influenced by anybody else to put myself in bad situations. And that happens. We're all human.
Right.
But I have to realize, what is the outcome I want? What is the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to realize if there's other thoughts that intrude in my head that are not in line with my purpose of what I want to accomplish in this life, then I have to realize it's coming from a negative source.
Right.
And I have to say, nope, nope. And I have to battle with them. And I've got cats. And because I deal with negative spirits that I have to fight off, they'll say, you know, kill this cat. You know, they'll say terrible things. I'll go, get that out of my head.
Right.
That is not me. I love this. So what I do is I'll grab the cat. I'll start kissing my cat. Say, I love you. And I say, I love you, God. I love you this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you are not in the same vibration or frequency that I am. Please go away.
Right. Not allowed here.
Right.
Nothing that is not for my highest good is allowed in this space.
Right. And the problem is, though, people aren't aware of this.
Right.
But some people listen to it.
Right.
And you cannot tell me that with everything that's going around the world, that people are just born this way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Right.
And we know from the study of manic depression and schizophrenia that people that have normal lives, very loving, caring, all of a sudden flip
on a dime. Yeah.
And they go shoot their entire family with a shotgun and they sit down, the police come and they don't remember doing it.
Right, right. There's a much deeper thing that hopefully we can dig into from either
yes,
a documentary side or a network show.
Absolutely.
Because there is so much to unearth here. And starting right now in your immediate home, I mean, I just took this person I was telling you about to a home that wouldn't sell. And this home is riddled with, you know, dark energies, vortexes, portholes, you name it. So, of course, it's not going to sell.
Right.
If you have a house out there, by the way, that is not selling, you need a cleaning, give me a call, jenweigel.com. I got a guy. But anyway, so afterwards came out, and the realtor's kind of looking at me like, did that just happen? And I said, yeah, I think it did. We walked back into the house, and it felt like somebody had turned on the heater. There was so much warmth that
energy
came through. Energy
different.
Is flowing.
It's lighter. It's not heavy. It's not oppressive.
It was like a different house.
Right.
And then the owner came home that night and texted the realtor, holy cow. And then three showings scheduled for the next day. I mean, it's just the ripple effect of, now that's just a house that's for sale. Imagine the house you're living in now.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine your car. Imagine all of these things that we spend, your bedroom, your closet, whatever it is, wherever you spend the bulk of your time. If you're not clearing your space with your intention, or even just with a good stick of sage, whatever it is, Susan Rowland says that sage is the soap and Palo Santo is the lotion. Whatever it is, light a candle, say a mantra. I don't care, but you have got to be responsible with your space.
And people have to realize that it's not just clearing the space as well, like you say. Is for some people that's perfectly fine, but there's certain individuals that they have to work on themselves, that they're going to keep attracting this environment back. They're going to keep attracting these things. So there has to be an internal thing that is changed and developed. And normally that is giving that person some type of purpose from A to B to work towards, because if you're just a ship that's sailing anywhere, you could easily be coerced back into it.
Yep. Hitchhikers are going to find you.
Right.
ChristopherFleming.com. Thank you, Chris, for being here and for doing what you do.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I honor
your
journey, and I can't wait to see what's coming down the pike, as they say. And jenweigel.com is where you can find me. Anybody out there who is listening, if you enjoy this podcast, please share, spread the word. Find me at jenweigel.com. And we will definitely see you next week. Chris, I'll see you May 26th at the Well North Shore. And everybody out there, stay spiritual, damn it.